Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Bill Clinton was in the White House. Whoopi Goldberg hosted the Academy Awards that year. South Africa held its first democratic election, and Nelson Mandela became its first black president. O.J. Simpson led the L.A. police in a famous low-speed car chase, and Kurt Cobain, the frontman of the band Nirvana, committed suicide in Seattle. The year was 1994. I was not here in Jaffrey, but most of you were. In 1994, the United Church of Jaffrey voted to become the second church in New Hampshire to become an open and affirming church. I was not here, so I can't tell you the story from firsthand experience, but I've heard that the decision to become an open and affirming church was not a universally supported one, and some folks in the church may have left. A small church became smaller. But I have also heard a story about how our church received the gift of a burning bush sapling from the Plymouth Congregational Church, the one church in New Hampshire that preceded us as becoming ONA. And the person who grabbed the spade and began digging the hole to plant that sapling was a parishioner who had previously expressed doubts and concerns about becoming an ONA church. That man showed courage, integrity, and humility necessary to grow, to be transformed. His small act was a seed of change. With that act, this small church grew in Christian faith. Back in 1994, becoming ONA was a move that pushed our society forward. Today, though we are still beset with terrible problems, we have at least made a little bit of progress with respect to our LGBTQ brothers and sisters. They may still face discrimination and hatred, but at least they don't have to pretend that they are something that they are not. Change began. Change continues. A seed was planted, and it grows. When Jesus tried to teach his followers about the kingdom of God, did he talk about diamonds? When Jesus tried to teach his followers about the kingdom of God, did he talk about palaces of gold? When Jesus tried to teach his followers about the kingdom of God, did he talk about yachts that cost $500 million? No. He didn't talk about any of these things. So what did Jesus talk about when he tried to teach his followers about the kingdom of God? He talked about seeds. Seeds. Why do you suppose he talked about seeds? Maybe he talked about seeds because the people he was talking to knew a lot about seeds. Seeds were vastly more important than diamonds or gold or $500 million yachts. In an arid landscape where rainfall was inconsistent, each seed was a matter of life and death. When Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God, he used metaphors that he knew his people would understand. And the seed is a remarkable symbol, really, when you think about it. Jesus was a pretty astute teacher. The seed has great power. The seed is potentiality in its purest form. When a seed achieves its full realization, it is a plant, right? Where, whether it be a dandelion or a daffodil, a rose or a redwood tree. In the tuber, the iris bloom awaits. In the acorn sits the majesty of the oak tree. The movement from seed to plant is called growth, transformation. A seed, then, is the essence of growth, the instigator of transformation. No wonder Jesus talked about seeds. Because where there is essence, there you find God. And where there is transformation, there also you can find God. Because God is essence. God is transformation. So yes, the kingdom of God is like a seed. A seed is small. It contains growth. When I was thinking about these things, I was reminded of a Pathfinder message that I wrote a while back. And it took me a while to search through my computer hard drive to find it. But I finally found it, and it turns out it was from January 2017, which was 2 months into my ministry here. And I'll read a little bit of that to you now. The great poet and translator and pastor of 29 years, the Reverend Eugene Peterson, was once asked if he had any advice for people trying to choose a church to go to. He replied, go to the closest church where you live and the smallest. And if after 6 months it's just not working for you, then go to the next smallest. Which is great, right? Local, small. Today's world seems in so many ways to measure success in terms of global and big. But here is a refreshing suggestion that something that is modest and in our midst may be meaningful precisely because it is modest and in our midst. I love the part of the services on Sunday mornings when we pray for our neighbors, families, and friends whose troubles we carry in our hearts. Where else but in church do we publicly acknowledge our common need, our care, and our concern? Sure, we also pray for people suffering in distant lands and for our leaders to act with wisdom, but this is all done from a deep center of gravity in this place and in this community. This, it seems to me, is both profoundly beautiful and incredibly important. I also welcome the way that Peterson's comment takes something commonly assumed to be a problem and turns it into a virtue. There is no end to the hand-wringing that mainline Protestant denominations are doing about the dwindling numbers of people in the pews. And to be sure, it is a matter of concern. But it's worth considering that there is also some real value to being small. We don't have to be packed into an urban church or an arena-style suburban megachurch to be successful at learning the lessons that the gospel are trying to live, the lessons of the gospel and trying to live in a way that acts out the love of God. Local and small feels pretty great to me. I wrote that Pathfinder message back in, as I said, back in January 2017, when I had only been officially installed here in this church for 2 months. And I suspect that I might have been encouraging myself a little bit, telling myself that it was okay to be part of a small church. But there was some real truth, right, to that message, a truth that speaks the truth of seeds. A real truth that speaks the truth of Matthew 18:20. Because when Jesus asked us to get together, did he require that we get together in huge numbers? Did he ask us to build gigantic cathedrals? Did he ask us to get on television and raise millions of dollars to build immense structures made out of crystal? Which actually happened, right, in the 1970s? Did Jesus tell us that the only acceptable congregation was one that was of at least 500 people? When 500 people get together, I am among you. No, he didn't. Here is the truth of Matthew 18:20. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am among you. I'm pleased to see that we have more than two or three folks here today. I think of the email that went out to the church chat on the days after the El Paso and Dayton mass shootings. I don't know if you remember that. Do you remember that? The email that Helen sent? A short cry of insistence and a wail of sorrow. A call to all of our hearts. We must do something. We cannot sit by any longer. From that seed came the prayer action that we did, the mobilization of the entire community to build, paint, and plant 283 white crosses on our front lawn. A seed of change. Where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, I am there among you. I think this morning of that text that I received from Mona asking for fabric to make a Black Lives Matter sign. And how that one text was the beginning of an idea that blossomed into the Sacred Ally Quilt Project. A collaboration of not one, but nine churches across the whole length and breadth of New Hampshire. This project has now become a ministry in its own right. And it has moved across New Hampshire and across the Eastern Seaboard, carrying its message of both pain and healing. They even made a film about it. Where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, I am there among them. We are a small church. But we grow. Do we grow in numbers? I hope so. That would be great. But it's yet to be seen. There is one way that we can certainly pat ourselves on the back and know that we are growing. We grow in faith. God has planted seeds in our hearts, and we grow, and we are transformed. And when we share our transformation with the world, how? Of course, through acts of love towards all. Amen.